The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome, listeners. Welcome to Hearth Tales on Fresh FM. Join me, Rich McCoy, as we gather closer to hear the tales of seasoned artists, makers, creative souls, and those who love to support them. Listen to stories of their journeys, how they wrestle with their demons, and how they balance their calling with the scaffolding of admin, life, and self-promotion. Welcome. Today in the studio we have Julian Dickey, who is the chair of the Motueka Arts Council. Julian, could you give us a bit of an introduction to yourself and what you do?
Well, I grew up in Auckland, went to university and teachers' college there, taught for a couple of years at Marlborough Girls College, and then went on my OE, which lasted 39 years, almost all of which was in the UK. I had 25 years in London and 13 years in Scotland, came back to New Zealand, had no idea what I was going to do. I was living in Hawke's Bay, so I went to art college, which was the most wonderful thing I've ever done in my entire life. And then when I turned 75, a couple of years ago, I decided I wanted a new change of scene, so we moved here to Motueka.
Oh, wow. And whereabouts in Scotland were you?
In Dumfries and Galloway, down in the southwest.
Wow. And you studied art
in Hawke's Bay.
Oh, wow.
Eastern Institute of Technology.
Wonderful. And can you share a story of your journey into the arts? Was it?
Well, it wasn't a very glorious start, because the fourth form was the last year we ever did art, and I came bottom. I kind of rebelled, really, because you were supposed to be able to do things like hand drawing, and I couldn't do those kind of things, and I wasn't actually very interested. But then when I moved to Europe, I started getting really interested, going to galleries and so on. And then when we moved to Scotland, I joined a painting class and discovered I was reasonably good at it. I'm, you know, not an expert, but I was reasonably good. So that kind of inspired me more. And then came to New Zealand, as I said. I went to EIT, and it was there really that I discovered the joys of contemporary art and also ceramics, which is what I ended up specialising in. I ended up doing a master's in ceramics.
Oh, wow.
And then after I left, I joined the Havelock North Pottery, and here in Motueka, there's so many arts groups, and I'm in the pottery group and the writing group and the photography group and the art group and so on. Yeah, and just lots of things that I really love about it. I feel very inspired by.
And what's you ceramics? What sort of ceramics do you?
Well, not wheel throwing. I'm not much of a perfectionist when it comes to things. I like things that look a bit wonky.
Yeah.
So I didn't tend to make pots. For my master's, I found lots of objects that were human-made or were natural objects that had sort of decay or accretions or dilapidation of some sort, because that aesthetic really appeals to me. And then I made ceramic objects that were inspired by that. So some of them were functional, some of them weren't, and then found all sorts of wonky sort of glazes, and yeah, it was great fun. I enjoyed it.
And do you still do
pottery? Yes. Yeah, I
wonderful.
Make figures. I for my undergraduate degree, I made a chess set, but they were all based on Dada artists.
Wonderful.
And it was all very chaotic. And in fact, the pawns were rebelling, but that's another story.
But what led you to take up the mantle of the chair of the Motueka Arts Council?
Well, when I first arrived here, I was looking for things to get involved in, to get to meet people and to do something, because I hate doing nothing. And so I joined the Arts Council and was on the committee for a while. And then Mary Nichols, who'd been the chair for a very long time, decided to step down at the beginning of this year. And so I agreed to be chair. And I've been chair ever since. And it sort of combines my love of the arts and my belief in its benefits with my... When I was in the UK, I managed voluntary organisations. That was pretty much what I did. And I then became a management consultant. So and was also have been on the committee or the board of lots of organisations. So it combined all of those interests, really.
For the listeners who don't really understand what the Arts Council is, what is the Mortuary Arts Council and what does it do?
Well, it's a membership organisation for anybody who's interested in or involved in the arts of any kind. We have individual members and group members and gallery studio members. One of our jobs is to advocate for the arts with the council and other bodies, to support and promote artists and art groups in one way or another, and also to encourage general participation in the arts. So it's really to encourage a flourishing arts sector in Motueka. Mm. Although there is quite a flourishing arts sector in Motueka already, but it's to kind of, you know, promote that.
But it's not just Motueka, is it? There is a
well, it's not Motueka and district, I should say. Yeah. We go from the top of the Takaka Hill to the Muturi Valley. There's Golden Bay has its own arts council, and Richmond and Waimea don't have one, so that's looked after by Nelson.
Right. And what kind of activities does the Arts Council look after?
We run some of our own events, like the Winter Workshop Programme, the Flags, which go up for quite a large portion of the year. That's an Arts Council project. We work in collaboration with other groups to do things, like we had a Writers Festival in August, which we did in collaboration with the Creative Writing Group in the library. We're currently doing a multicultural mural with the Multicultural Association. And we run a number of groups in partnership with the library, like Art Matters, which is a discussion group about art on the last Friday of the month. Just Write, which is a new group for people who just want to write. So we come together and we write, and that's on the second Tuesday evening of the month. And there's a new group starting called Create, which we're doing in partnership with Micah Baldeldress, and she used to work at the Church House Gallery, and now she's focusing on her own work, making jewellery and automata. And so she'll be mostly leading that group, just for people to come in the evening, because there's very few things in the evening for people. So it's a space, again, in the library where people can come and bring stuff and just work on it, basically.
And how does the Arts Council support artists and creative initiatives and stuff?
Well, we promote their activities of people who are artists who are members or art groups who are members. We promote their activities through the newsletter, our monthly newsletter, through Facebook and so on, and our website. We're aiming to have a database of artists with the opportunity to feature their work on the website. And we offer them opportunities to run workshops and other activities, and just generally respond to any queries they might have. They sometimes come in and they want to know, find out about a venue or find out about how they can attract funding or that kind of thing.
And how does one become a member of the Arts Council?
Oh, it's very easy to become a member, and it's completely free. And all you have to do is to email us with your name and your email address.
And what email address would that be to?
What's the email address? It's Motueka Arts Council, all one word, at gmail.com.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it's that easy.
It's just that easy, yes.
And how would you describe the creative and arts sort of environment in Motueka?
Well, we're very lucky to have a fairly vibrant arts and crafts scene. There's lots of different groups in the area, so almost anything people are interested in, they can find a group, except theatre. Theatre seems to be a bit missing. There are occasional people who do workshops on improv, but other than that, there's, you know, there used to be a theatre group, but there isn't anymore. There's a children's drama group once a week, but other than that, there's not really
anything.
Maybe
there's an opportunity for it.
But there are lots and lots of things going on. They tend to go on rather separately from each other. So one of the things that we kind of promote is being more together. We set up a members forum called Chat and Chips for people to get together to talk about important issues. One of the things that a lot of people seem to want is an arts community arts centre here in Motueka, and other issues as well. Yeah, so that's an opportunity for people to get together and hopefully groups can collaborate on areas of common interest.
You mentioned the community arts centre there. I can remember those conversations. Is there what's
Well, nothing really has much happened. I contacted lots of other community arts centres in New Zealand to find out, you know, their story and how they got to where they are. But funding is going to be the major issue, and at the moment I can't see it happening without a lot of input from a lot of people, because there are no buildings already existing in Motueka that would be suitable, like the old library and the earthquake strengthening and all of that. And because I was involved in an art centre in Scotland, I know how expensive it is to not only create a building, but to run a building.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an easy job. But I would like us to kind of keep this on the agenda, on the back burner somewhere until the time is right.
Because Nelson's moving forward with one, aren't they?
Well, they've got, yes, what was the Nelson Arts Council has quite a big building there, the refinery art space, and they have enough room to have meeting rooms and exhibition space.
But I read somewhere that they're developing a new one in town, I think, by the sounds of it.
Oh, right, yes. Yes, I think
that's
so.
Exciting. What would you say were some of the unique challenges that we've got within this region for artists and arts organisations?
Yeah, I'm not sure that they're unique to Motueka, but certainly there are definitely challenges. I visited most of our member groups. The two most common issues that groups had were money and venue spaces. They do all that they do relying for the most part on volunteer efforts. Actually, we're pretty lucky to have venues available relatively cheaply, like the community house, the over 50s hub, and of course the library as well. We're currently producing a database of venues, but so we're quite lucky. The one venue that's missing is an exhibition space. You can hire the like church hall or wherever, but it's not cheap. It's quite expensive. So it's challenging for artists to have an exhibition of their work.
Yeah.
And, you know, the commercial galleries are obviously very restricted in what they're able to show in terms of local artists.
And would that database include places like restaurants and cafes that were open to work up?
Yes, I belong to the art group, and there are two or three places that will exhibit art group members' work.
Right.
One of the main problems is the lack of council support. There's no dedicated arts person in the council, with a dedicated arts role, I should say. And there's no art strategy, one of the very few councils in New Zealand that doesn't have an art strategy, and certainly no significant funding. There seems to be a bit of an attitude that Nelson will cater for all our needs. So Motueka can appear a little bit like a poor relation of Nelson.
I mean, once they have the population, there's certainly a reputation of this region of having a great creative community.
Well, and there is, yes. But, you know, unfortunately, without resources, it can only go so far.
Like in the last program that we aired here, was an interview with Gary, and he talked about there was an art strategy before, but it's just
there was
sort of
a long
lingering
time ago. Yes,
you know,
and it was put in the bottom drawer and forgotten about, and nobody ever did anything about it. It's run out now. I think it was 2013 or something.
Oh, okay. But there are certainly, I'm aware of people within council who have a healthy attitude towards the arts, but whether they have that role allocated as well, it's different.
Yes. I mean, Julia, who is the community partnerships person, she's really interested in the arts. So, yes, but you know, and it's not, I'm not wanting to blame the council here, because they have a huge amount to do, particularly with all these latest government directives, which are about potholes and not about the arts. And they have a very limited budget. As we know, they've got a big deficit. So at the moment, I'm not expecting them to be able to do much more.
But it's funny, isn't it, as well, in that the arts are proven to be incredibly good for local communities, financially as well. You know, they bring people in, they bring money in, they bring investment.
Yes.
But it's just one of the easiest things just to de-invest.
Yes. I mean, if you look at Nelson just as our nearest example, you know, that investment is really paying off.
Yeah.
But then when I read the art strategies of some other local authorities. I'm really, really impressed.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing really good things.
Good. And I know we're working on an art strategy.
Yes.
At some point.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful. And so how important do you think is collaboration and the relationship between the Motorek Arts Council and neighbouring arts councils?
Yes. Well, one important collaboration that we're doing now, and you mentioned Gary, he's been appointed to do some initial work on this, is a joint enterprise between Motueka and Golden Bay Arts Councils, along with Nelson, because, as I said, they cover Richmond and Waimea. And this is to develop an art strategy for Tasman. The council isn't going to do it, so we decided that we would do it. So we have this small bit of money to get Gary to do some initial work on what would be involved in developing an art strategy. Because an art strategy is actually really important. Yes, the individual groups and artists go on doing what they're doing, and that they do it well, and that's fine. But it's something about giving an overall vision and a coordinated approach to developing the sector and encouraging participation in the arts. Identifying what already works, what are the gaps, where to prioritise investment, and we'll cover Tasman as a whole as well, including all the small rural centres, which can be neglected. So we're really excited about that and really looking forward to it. And one of the other things that's going on is we also got a grant for here in the Motueka district to look at what are the obstacles to participation in the arts, either as a producer of art or as an audience member or whatever. So we're looking to see what those obstacles are as well and at what we can do to address that so that it's all more inclusive and accessible.
And so what do you believe are the benefits of a strong arts community and culture in a region?
Well, there's a huge amount of research has gone into this. So, this is sort of evidence-based. And actually, one of the best documents I've seen which sets out the evidence is the Scottish Creative Scotland. They've got an absolutely brilliant publication which sets this out. And in fact, it has been quite inspirational, I think, for some New Zealand organisations like Creative New Zealand. Well, you know, the health benefits, mental health, social health and physical health have all been shown to benefit. There are benefits from participation in the art. Cognitive development in young people and helping to prevent cognitive decline in older people has been proven through the arts. It provides people with a platform for their voices. It increases a sense of people's sense of belonging and reduces isolation. Social connections, you know, by belonging to an art group is really important for people. It's also about our cultural heritage and maintaining and protecting that, making communities a more desirable place to live by having murals and other public art. And of course, it's economic contribution as well.
Totally.
You know, I'm not sure that that's hugely true of Motueka, but certainly in other places, it brings people in, brings tourists. And I'm sure, you know, lots of tourists who come here, you know, do participate in the arts, but in one way or another. But it's probably not hugely economically significant.
I often say that I think that nobody goes to visit a town because to go and see the accountants and the lawyers. They go because arts and culture and and the vineyards and all that, the sort of beautiful stuff. So it's like economically it makes so much sense. Down to even Ireland at the moment have introduced that living wage for artists because they know that for every euro they spend they get €1.75 in the economy.
Yes, wouldn't that be a great idea? I'll advocate for that one.
I'd certainly be very happy at that.
Yes.
And what excites you most about the future of the arts in the region, do you think?
Well, I think if we do get this Tasman Art Strategy off the ground, I think it could be transformative. And hopefully it will encourage TDC to increase their commitment and investment. But even if that doesn't happen, it will provide the sector with a map for the future, increase awareness and collaboration, establish priorities, identify gaps and so on. So I think it will be very good to have a roadmap, even if it doesn't lead to increased investment. But if people are applying for grants elsewhere, like to Creative New Zealand or whoever, you know, it will give them evidence to back up their applications. And I think that's really important. I'm very excited about our accessibility project because I think it would be great to be able to identify who doesn't get to go to things and what can help there. And we've got a summer workshop program coming up, which we've never had before, and that's got all sorts of exciting ideas come up for that. That'll be in late February, March. And one other very exciting thing is we're doing this in collaboration with Crafty Tarts, with support from the Fabric Rescue, the high school, a couple of op shops, Wecker Peckers Recycling and so on, is an upcycled fashion show, which will be held in June. It'll be like a competition. And there'll be sort of two categories, one of streetwear that you can things that you actually wear, and other sort of fantasy fashion, like the world of wearable arts, with, you know, age group categories and so on. So we're very excited about that, and we've got a very good working group working to do that. As I say, some organisations have come on board to support it.
That's amazing. Excellent. And with regards to the accessibility work, that's looking at, is that age as well?
Age is one of the categories. We're initially looking at Maori and Pacifica and other cultural groups. And we're looking at older people. We're also looking at young people because after people leave school, well, a lot of them move away, but the ones who don't move away don't tend to go to the groups that are on. Why would they? They're mostly full of old people. And we're also looking at people who work full-time, you know, what's available for them. Obviously, people with disabilities of one kind or another. So those are the kind of categories we're looking at to see.
Wonderful. That seems really important work.
Yes.
Finally, what piece of advice would you offer for a young person pursuing a career in the creative career in the region?
Well, obviously, since I loved art school so much, that's what I would advocate, that people make every effort. There is still an art school at NMIT. It's a little bit design and digitally oriented, but there's still opportunities to do other things. I do appreciate, however, that currently it's about $7,500 a year, and that may not be possible. Unless some people obviously might get scholarships or other ways of, you know, loans or however else they might fund themselves. But I certainly would really encourage people to think seriously about it if there's any chance they can do it. It's sort of something about the intellectual stimulation, apart from anything else, and the motivation you get to do things. Yes, I'm glad I did it at a tech rather than a university because it was much more hands-on. You know, we had lots of workshops and people who knew how to do things like woodwork and metalwork and so on. So I'm glad I did end up going to a technical institute rather than a university, but which I tend to be a bit more conceptual in their art. But any art school at all, I would really recommend if people can. And if they can't afford to go, then, you know, to find opportunities, workshops and so on, there's various organisations in Nelson particularly, which do offer, you know, courses, short courses or workshops.
It's almost as if we need some sort of mentorship as well, so that if you find a craft person in your region that you really like the work of, or say you're interested in doing screen printing or pottery or stuff, that you could
that's a really
people.
Good idea, and maybe that's something the Arts Council could take up as establishing some kind of mentorship scheme.
Because if you don't have the money to go to art college, like, we can't allow the arts to be just the playground of the people who can afford it. It's like, get some practical experience, like a mentorship or
apprenticeship.
That's the one.
Yes.
Because I did bits of that when I was young, before I went to art college. Worked for like picture framers and such like that, and then went away to an art college.
Yes, and if people really are interested in the arts, they will find a way to do it. Usually, most of the groups that happen in the library, like the writing group and the Art Matters group and so on, they're all free. It tends to be young people tend not to think of themselves as joining those groups, but they're perfectly welcome to.
I also agree with you with regards the social and intellectual benefits of going to a college, of learning within a community of like-minded people who are all hungry to do and pick up stuff. And It exposes you to thoughts and experiences that you would never anticipate.
That's right.
Elsewhere.
Yes.
I'd certainly value my time at university. Is there anything else you would like to share? Any ways that people can get involved with the Arts Council?
Well, we're always looking for volunteers who are happy to be involved in some way, like, for example, with the summer workshop program or this upcycled fashion show or the art, being involved in something about developing this art strategy. We'd love to have volunteers. Mm. We'd also love to have people as members. And the advantage to us of that is that the more members we have, the more clout we have.
Right.
So that if we can say, we've got, at the moment we've got, I think it's about 180 members, but if we had, like 300 members, we'd be able to say, this is a substantial number of people who we are speaking on behalf of, because we do consult our members about different things, so we can with confidence say, this is how people are feeling about things, this is what they're thinking about things. So the more members we have and the more consultation we do,
it costs people nothing to join.
Absolutely nothing, completely free, and they get a monthly newsletter which tells you lots of things about what's going on.
So if there's anybody who's listening who is interested in the arts,
anybody's interested in the arts. They don't have to be an artist, no. Anybody who wants to know about anything art-related. And when I'm talking about the arts, I think people tend to assume this means visual arts, but actually it means arts of all kinds. It happens to be my field, visual arts and sculpture and ceramics, but it also includes writing, poetry, theatre, dance, music, and all the crafts that you can think of, often fabric arts or anything. Arts related.
Flax weavers and such like that.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent. And the volunteering stuff, that will give... I mean, I've spent a long time as a younger person volunteering for arts organisations, and I found that gave me a lot of insight into how arts organisations work, how arts work within the region. So just by volunteering and turning up, you get exposure to other creative people, and it sort of builds, it expands your sphere of knowledge and people.
Absolutely. And the organisations that I managed when I was in the UK and here in New Zealand, in fact, since I came back, have all relied on volunteers. Mm. But it and for all the reasons that you said, I would advocate for it. But also, especially if you're younger, it gives you something to put on your CV as well, some experience that you've had, and I think that's very valuable.
Totally. I mean, I wouldn't have got my first paying jobs if I hadn't have worked for organisations like Art Skills or the Foundation for Arts and Creative Technology. It just, because I had those on my CV, and it shows that you want to get up and do something about something you love. It's a good call. Wonderful. And how do people get in touch with the Arts Council?
Again, through email probably is the best. Motueka Arts Council, or one word, motuekaartscouncil@gmail.com. We also have an office in the community house, which has a person there, usually Mary, from 11 till 3 on at Wednesday. Okay. So every Wednesday, 11 to 3, people can pop into the community house.
And she'll help people with...
Yes. And answer questions, queries and whatever, yes.
Wonderful. Excellent. Thank you, Julian. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Well, no, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much. Thank you for lending us your ears. You can find more interviews and how to request a Hearth Tale featuring your favourite New Zealand artist, maker or creative soul on our website, hearthtales.com. And you can listen to this episode of Hearth Tales on freshfm.co.nz with a new show every fortnight. Until next time, fare thee well, friends. Fare thee well.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.